Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Come on in out of the cold. Stay a while. We're heading for the weekend. Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. And Sean Carey, Steve, in a second. We'll check in from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Multiple ways to get in contact with us. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. Follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. We've got our Facebook page as well. And we invite you to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. It is available on both the Apple Podcast app, iTunes, and Google Play. Podcast drops less than an hour after our live show here on WKOK. Heading for the weekend. Also want you to head to Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket. Reagan Street and Sunbury. NFL playoffs get rolling this weekend. You got the national championship game in college football on Monday night. So if you're going to have friends over, you're going to make sure you're stocked up with what you need. Beverages and snacks and water. And the specials through Tuesday. Keystone Light 15-pack cans, $7.97. And Smith & Forge 12-pack cans, $9.95. Open 9 to 9 at Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. We'll be talking Penn State football with the terrific writer Frank Bodani, the York Daily Record. Lined up at 3:35. 4:35, we've got our picks as we head into the NFL wild card weekend. Wild weather up in Connecticut, so we'll get a weather update from Kevin Jones at 4:35 before the weekend kicks in. So we do have some headlines. This has turned into the worst kept secret in the National Football League. He will be leaving the broadcast booth and returning to coach in the NFL, John Gruden. Is going to be the next head coach of the Oakland Raiders. Press conference is not until Tuesday, so we will see John tomorrow. He'll be part of the ESPN ABC broadcast of the wild card game tomorrow afternoon. And how about this? A 10-year deal, $10 million a year. Wow. Mark Davis wanted John Gruden back in Oakland in the worst kind of way. And, of course, he's thinking long-term, too. He's hoping that Gruden's still going to be around when the Raiders then move to Las Vegas. And there's already been some coaching staff hires that have been announced. That'll be the guys that will be coming in to coach with John Gruden, including Greg Olsen, will be the offensive coordinator for Gruden and the Raiders. He has been the primary target for sure. It's almost that's been Mark Davis's goal. Ever since Mark's father, Al Davis, passed away several years ago. So I guess, you figure Monday Night Football ratings down a little bit. Monday Night Football, you don't get the marquee primetime matchup anymore. That's Sunday Night Football on NBC. And some think that the Sean McDonough, John Gruden chemistry is pretty good, but could be better.
I can't believe that cat. Khalil Mack's going to play for me. He can play for me anytime. Guess what? He's going to play for me in the next 10 years.
I guess the burning question now is this. Who is now going to lead the fired Football Coaches Association of America? Gruden would be in that bunker by 3:30 in the morning every day. Who's going to take his spot there?
Well, who knows?
Who knows?
Hey, 10 years, $100 million.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's like... Ooh. You know, I mean, the only person I know with the ethics to turn that down would be the suit. Like, based on what we're seeing lately, he's turning down a lot of money. No, I'm just kidding.
Speaking of the suit, suit's got the night off tonight because of the cold weather. Jersey Shore, no school in their district today, so Jersey Shore, Shikellamy boys basketball not happening tonight. So we will put you and DJ on from the BJC at 7:30. First ever Friday night conference game for Penn State and Northwestern. Looking forward to seeing that tonight and catching your broadcast, too.
Well, you know what? Hey, you know, some broadcast teams show up when it's cold or not.
Yeah.
And others bag it. So there you are. Guess who's bagging it?
Yeah.
Hey, it's just, you know. It's just the way it is, man. It's...
We do what we do. We keep on grinding.
Yeah, no, we keep on grinding. We're here just getting it done.
Yeah. You need us. We're over here.
Yeah. You know,
we're not hard to find.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's, you know, then others are, you know, I mean, I guess he was in the office, told me he was cold.
Yes.
Yeah, that's, wow. How we pine for the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament on days such as these.
We'll be here before we know it.
Ugh, I know.
We were kind of tall. We were talking down the hall. One of the coworkers down the hall. You know, when it gets to be like late June, early July, we get our first heat wave. And if I complain about the heat, just, you know, call me out, will you? I go, oh, I will. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah. I'm not going to complain. Well, you know what? I will complain about the heat when it gets to a certain point. I'm sorry. I'm not going to change policy on that.
Right.
No. So I'm going to complain about the cold. Remember how you're going to feel when it's 9. Well, I know how I feel when it's 9. I know how it feels when it's 92. So, you know, wasn't that bad. All right, basketball. Interesting. I feel like with this basketball team, we are about at a similar spot as football was right before that Minnesota game a couple of years ago. In terms of experience level, what they've learned, and that they need a victory that then changes the confidence level moving forward. I've got a feeling Penn State basketball is at that point now. And I see similarities between the talent, the experience, the rudder between what I saw going into Minnesota last year in football and where I see Penn State basketball right now.
I'm just kind of thinking of the overall direction long term. Do you think the team needs a signature win? For some reason, I don't think they do. I think they just need to steer the course and just continue to wins. Just not talking about a pure signature win.
Well, I'm not talking about a signature win.
No.
Minnesota was not a signature win last year. Minnesota was a firm confidence, kind of win. That's what I'm talking about. One where you walk out and go, all right, there we go. Now we've found a track here. That's what I'm talking about. Signature win, you know, signature wins are beat Michigan State on the road, things like that. That's still to come. But you need that win that gets you back. I mean, gets you on a track where, like, all right, that was good. There we go. And then go from there. And I feel like the two programs are in similar spots from 16 months ago in football to where basketball is now in terms of experience. You had a redshirt sophomore quarterback last year. You had a sophomore running back. You've got a sophomore point guard. You got a sophomore forward and center. And you see what I mean? I'm talking about in that general area. And let's see what they can do with it tonight. Let's see what they can do with it today.
I just think with that core that's out there, the sophomore core that's out there, they just keep racking up the minutes, racking up the time out there together. Long term, I just think the mistakes are going to decrease, the winds are going to increase. I mean, the winds will follow.
Yeah, you but you got to be able to validate what you're doing with winds. I mean, you could talk all you want. Hey, you're close. All right, now let's take it beyond close. Let's take it over the top, and then let's see how far you can run with it. I think that's where they are right now. They've got the talent. Now it's a question of closing deals, winning games, and I think tonight is an important game in that regard for them. Now, is it the be-all, end-all? No, but it's one of those where if they were to win it, I might walk out of there tonight with the same feeling I had when I walked out of the Minnesota game. As soon as when Penn State beat Minnesota last year, and remember, Penn State was behind. Some segments of the crowd were not enamored with what they were watching, right? And then they came back. You know, I mean, Smith made that big interception in the end zone. Trace had that tremendous, you know, of course, the touchdown pass to Charles. Trace made that big run to set up the field goal by Davis. They got the overtime, and then Saquon won it with the run. And I remember walking out of the stadium that day thinking, there we go. That's going to open the door. I'm wondering if I'm going to walk out of the Jordan Center feeling the same way tonight, because I feel like they are to the precipice. And because we have a Hale and Hardy broadcast team, we'll do the game tonight as opposed to one that was begging to have the night off. He seems to get his own way in everything, doesn't he?
Was it begging? Maybe I missed that part of the story.
What? You talking about the suit?
No. Yeah.
It's too cold out for the suit to go. You've got to walk. You have to walk from the parking lot into the building. You know, and you get stopped by a lot of people asking for autographs and so forth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a longer trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how that feels.
Most Americans don't. And ironically, neither does the suit. All right, so that's not funny. It's not funny. So let's see how we feel at the end of this night, because I feel it's an important game for them. They're at home. Geez, you can't have another 34-4 disparity in free throw attempts, can you? Hey, can you?
I was going to ask you the last time you called a game when that happened, or
I don't know that one. I don't know, but I really don't know what to say about it. I mean, I know that Dick rewatched it, and I have 8 different text messages from Dick watching the game. Obviously, Patrick rewatched it. So Dick and Patrick have both rehashed it with me. So I know how each feels about what they saw. I keep coming back to this. If Penn State had 8 to 10 points in the paint, and then I could maybe buy a relatively low number of free throws, because that tells me you're not playing any downhill basketball. Fair enough. But they had 26. When you have 26 points in the paint and you only have 4 free throws, you scratch your head and say, okay, why? Well, we know what our why is. Our why is Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's amazing. You know, Mark Davis asked John Gruden about contract, and he said, I want some suit money. He got 10 years, $10 million.
Oof.
Amazing how that works, huh? You got to love it. It's now, I mean, think about Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football is stable of franchises they've ever had, obviously. And 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, it's Mike Tirico and it's John Gruden. You really kind of feel that tandem's going to be together for 10 more years, right? No.
I just wonder what the Chiefs.
Last 10 months.
I just wonder what the Chiefs are thinking. Now we got a guy up in the booth calling our game, and about 48 hours after that, he's going to be brought in as the head coach of one of our rivals.
Tell you right now, I hate the team in red. Can't stand them. Yeah, 24 hours ago, loved them. Now, got to play them twice. go Titans.
Hey, 10 years, $100 million, and he's going to Vegas when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
I'm assuming because they're moving. I mean, they're moving to Vegas. So it's an interesting time. Imagine how the people in Vegas feel about this. They're going to get John Gruden as their first coach in Las Vegas. That's... Look, he's got talent there. I mean, that's the interesting part. By taking the Raiders' job, he is not taking a program that is down and out and devoid of talent. And that's the part that you're like, okay, all right. You know, he's actually taking a team that many thought was ready to make the next step this year and didn't. And that's the part where you're like, okay. They didn't take the next step this year. And that's where... You know, that's an interesting... I think he's taking over a team with tremendous potential. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket imports the message microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Celebrate the new year and the playoffs in style. You got two playoff games Saturday, two Sunday, national championship game on Monday night. Plus the Suits having an FCS championship game party. We're all going. It's the only one in the country outside of Harrisonburg, Virginia. What? Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. The Pickle Bar. So good that it's used when it comes to picks. It's second to none. Love the barrels and the dills. All at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The pickle bar is second to none. Love the barrels and the dills. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So Jack Ham and I go over to... the JW Marriott at the Camelback Inn because we have to get our credentials for the Fiesta Bowl, and we're walking down the sidewalk to get to the building, and who pops out? Frank Bodani. Great to see him there. As always, Frank, Happy New Year, my friend. Great to talk with you again.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, Steve. And you know what? It was just great to be there. What a privilege, you know?
Yeah, it was, really was, to see a game like that. Frank, we watched a lot of elements of James Franklin's 4 years, from how he recruited early to what was seen the last, you know, 2 years, especially the last year and a half, and maybe a glimpse of the future. Did you see all of that wrapped into one Fiesta Bowl game, too?
Well, sure, because, I mean, you had Trace McSorley. I think a lot of people remember when he committed here late at the end, when James took over. Saquon Barkley, I remember sitting at a Starbucks talking to a recruiting guy when the night he switched from Rutgers to Penn State. And then you had all the young players, you know. You had Barkley and Miles Sanders going at one time, and then even younger guys, especially on defense, I guess. I don't know. For some reason, a lot of the really young kids kind of pop up to me there on the line and in the backfield all at one time, trying to accomplish kind of the one thing, sending this team out the right way. And yet, it's always looking ahead. You know, it's always looking ahead. And I think people are hoping that what Franklin has done in his staff is going to be more New Year's Six games coming next year and the year after and after that.
Which then brings us to McSorley. We watch players develop. They all develop at different rates. As you have watched the development of Trace McSorley, Frank, what really has stuck out to you about the direction he's taken his own personal game?
Oh, just his mind. I mean, the way, the feel for the game. We always talk about all the extra film study he does. Well, you can see it on the field. I mean, that combined with his natural feel for playing that position is making a special player. I think the only thing people really doubted, you know, it was tough for him because they always looked at his size. Could he survive playing in the Big Ten at his size, you know, weight height? Could he flourish at that competition at that size? Well, he just continues to impress people every week, every season, more and more. Now people are comparing him to Baker Mayfield, and, you know, a little smaller version. So really, I mean, next season, to me, how far they go, I mean, it's on this guy's shoulders, because I think he can get better yet.
His accuracy, I felt that was the biggest step I saw this season, because, mm-hmm. You know, so much was discussed, you know, let's go back 365 here. It was always about 50-50 balls. Every conversation seemed to be about that. I thought his accuracy was wonderful this year, Frank.
Well, his decision-making, too. I guess that goes right in with that, because, I don't know, I never really looked at him necessarily as an erratic quarterback, but it seemed like too often he did not make the choice to throw the shorter pass, to look maybe another to his left when he had a guy open. It seems like he's way better at that. And then when he does make that decision, he is accurate, obviously. You're right. I mean, and then the other thing to me is the decision-making on when to run, when to pass. He's great at getting out of the pocket and finding a receiver downfield. But there's times, I think, where you kind of say, you know, Trace, take the 10 yards on the ground. And I think he's making really much better decisions, effectively running the ball and then still staying out of harm's way for the most part.
What did you think of the offensive line's performance around him on Saturday?
Well, it looked good. I mean, you know, some early pressure on that first drive, and then they really built a wall around him. It was impressive considering what Washington came into the game, you know, with their big guy up front and some of the others, their track record. I mean, so most consistent effort from the offensive line from beginning of game to the end. That's how Matt Limegrover described it. And then most of those guys are coming back. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it seems like for 2-3 years we keep saying the offensive line is going to be better next year. It's going to be better. Well, it kind of was, but I think the biggest step got to come next season. Got to come next season, because these guys will not be young anymore and they will not be inexperienced anymore, and there will be depth. So, you know, one train of thought is that they're actually going to run the ball more effectively and better next year, even without Barkley.
And then you look at moving forward, what they have defensively. When you have started to gather what you think of what the defense can be next year, is there enough, you know, because obviously they lose some players, but they also play a lot of players.
Yeah, I think the key, and one key is still at linebacker a little bit. I know they kind of always say they don't use as many linebackers as they did in the past, but still I think you need a game changer, somebody that's going to step in for Jason, you know, in the middle. And then on the outside, kind of a pass rushing kind of game wrecker type guy a little bit. Can Koa Farmer take that next step? Then the question is going to be there for Cam Brown. And then to me, it's then can these really exciting young defensive ends then take the next step as well? I mean, they showed flashes this year, but you need kind of true breakthroughs for Gross Matos, Shaka Toney. Sharif Miller seemed to maybe tire a little bit at the end of the regular season. I mean, they have the parts, I think, and the talent there. So it's, I guess, you know, to me, defensively, it's going to be up front and then it's going to be in the back, because despite losing a couple of really good seniors, they really still have a lot of depth and talent back there. John Reed's coming back. That's obviously the key.
Yeah, and that's huge. I mean, and Amani Oyewariye and Tariq Castro-Fields and Lamont Wade and Nick Scott and Aaron Monroe all, and Garrett Taylor, you know, Taylor started to get in the mix too. They all play a lot of football, Frank. That's, you know, I know Jack and I said in the broadcast a couple of times, hey, if you're recruited to play for James Franklin, there's a good chance you're going to get to play.
Well, sure, and then the recruiting is huge, and it's really overlooked sometimes the job he did when he first got there, which was the toughest job. You know, the classes were not ranked particularly high, but that doesn't do justice to the work that was done under the circumstances. You see that the last 2 years and the way they developed those kids. Well, right now, they're closing in on their top recruiting class in over a decade, and one of their top maybe ever. I mean, it's gonna stick in the top five, I think. You can't say – Penn State has not had one of those since 2006. So when you combine – what the staff has proven they can do with developing guys, and you keep bringing in even more talent, you see where, Penn State fans, I guess, hope to see where this is headed, you know.
And they added to it, obviously, this week, which is, you know, I mean, again, and it's positionally where they added to it this week is a difference maker, because there's a domino effect, as I think that allows you now to really consider Micah Parsons at the middle linebacker spot because of what they got this week.
Yeah, and I think, I think Jason Owe is going to be a guy that's going to maybe take a red shirt year like Shane Simmons did. But he is going to be a difference maker from what it seems like. It's just, I guess I still go back to the, to me, the next step, I mean, to me, the questions going into next year would be kicker and,
yes. Yes.
And linebacker. Because to me, Koa Farmer, Cam Brown, they haven't proven to be the type of Penn State linebackers yet that fans expect or want, or maybe even they need. So what can they do? You know, that's, to me, the two spots that I'm kind of really looking in the spring to see how they are. And honestly, the spring's important, but it's going to be the fall. I mean, the coaches can talk all they want about what this guy's going to do, but those two spots. I mean, and it'd be interesting. Can the freshman kicker come in, and or will they? I mean, could they even possibly look at Blake Gilligan? I don't know. So,
well, that brings up the next part. And you talked about obviously the linebackers. I work with the best ever.
That's right. You got an advantage there.
Yeah, I have a huge advantage because I just sit there and act like a sponge the entire time and listen to him, and then I say things on this show, they go, wow, he knows what he's talking about. It's because I listen to him. Okay.
Right.
There's no secret here. But he always talks to me about a linebacker and the ability to drop into a zone, which then forces a guy to either overthrow it or throw an interception. And it happened in the Rose Bowl game, the Sanders interception that Georgia got. Okay. The analysis was he tried to force it in there, and that's not what he tried to do, because I work with Jack. You look at the linebacker, right? Smith dropped back so deep, Mayfield had to get the ball over him. I think that's the part, because Cam Brown has the kind of length to be that kind of linebacker. You go, whoa, got to throw over him.
And Farmer right. should know how to do it, Frank, because he played safety before, and I'm still waiting to see him do more of it.
Right, and that's the thing. As I think they, those two in particular, they keep standing out. I mean, there's other guys back there, but they keep standing out. And I think they have the intangibles and the talent. It's just, can you do it? And can you do it for 3, 4, 6 games in a row? And it's a pretty high standard at Penn State to what you're hinting at. And it just goes from Jack. I mean, everybody that listened to your show remembers Sean Lee, Navarro Bowman, Paul Posluszny.
Yeah.
We can keep going on and on, Mike Mowdy. So I don't care if they only use 2 linebackers at a time. Penn State fans expect at least somebody to look like those guys.
Right.
So, and again, I understand that Cam and Coe has had needs time, but somebody's got to step up there. I don't know if you can get by to be the elite defense you need if you're just good up front and just good in the back.
Right. And that's something you've got to sit back and take a long look at. The kicker part's going to be the interesting part in all this. Obviously, they recruited there, and you mentioned Blake Gilligan, who really was the backup place kicker in the bowl game if they had to go that direction. But that is a big part because, again, you want to have some scoring range out there, Frank.
Well, sure, and it's an overlooked part until it hits you, you know, because I think people take for granted a little bit Blake Gilligan, how he changed the game for Penn State the last 2 years. They haven't had that kind of punting in 5 before him. And he made it so much easier on the defense. He's kicking, I think, 18, 20 kicks over 50 yards. And he just does it, and people almost take it for granted after a while. Well, kicking's not maybe quite that way, but a little bit. You know, until they really mess it up, until they start missing 34-yard field goals, then nobody really, but who's going to do that next year? Is it going to be one of the walk-on kids? I mean, you need to have that ability to score 3 points from right. outside 25 yards. So that's the big question. I kind of, my thought would be they don't want Blake Gilligan to have to try to do another role. So I think one of the walk-ons or the freshmen you would hope could handle that at least adequately up front,
right.
you know, from the beginning. So
how do you look at Monday night?
I don't know. I kind of wanted Oklahoma to win. I thought it would give us a different vibe to
yes.
the game, you know.
Yes.
Now it's an SEC game. And, you know, and this might be unfair, but how many fans outside of the Big Ten would care if Penn State's playing Ohio State for the national title or Wisconsin? I mean, it'd be great in a sense, but I don't know. I just want to see. I just don't want to. An SEC game doesn't excite me as much, but I think until you beat Alabama, I mean, I know Alabama was beaten before last year, but they still look like the most dominating team.
Yeah.
They got the month off that they needed. Can Georgia hold up offensively to that defense? I don't. Right now, I'm thinking not.
It's interesting though, but
win.
Right, and you mentioned the time off they got. I mean, in the essence, it worked out great for them, Frank. But Alabama got a bye into the semifinals because they didn't have to play the conference championship game.
And maybe the key is, I mean, the reason why, to me, that Alabama lost last year is because of Clemson's quarterback.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Baker Mayfield on his game maybe could have put a scare into him. I don't know if Georgia's quarterback is going to be able to beat them.
That's a good point. Frank, always a pleasure. It was great seeing you out there.
Yeah,
great having you
too,
on the
man.
Show today.
Happy
appreciate
New Year
it so
to you.
Much.
All the very best to you. Enjoy the weekend coming up and your basketball.
Appreciate it, Frank. Thanks.
Yeah. Take care.
Speaking of basketball, that's tonight. Penn State will take on Northwestern in the Jordan Center. 7:30 the airtime, 8 o'clock the tip-off. We were going to carry Shikellamy basketball tonight, but a certain play-by-play guy complained about the cold, so they postponed the game. Is that how it played out, Sean?
I think I heard something differently, believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
Maybe school policy.
Oh, okay.
I had heard that there's a Jersey Shore school policy. If there's no school, there's no games.
Yeah, but I heard the suit called it in. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right. So tonight, Penn State Northwestern Jordan Center. And again, that's coming up tonight, and that will be at. That'll be at 8 o'clock on, beginning at 7:30 this evening. You're sure that the suit didn't call off school?
Maybe I got my stories mixed up. That could be.
Because, I mean, you told me he was cold, and being cold, it's not good.
Well, you know how much he loves Periscope and Facebook Live video, something like that. Now that he has free time tonight, when it gets really cold, he could try something pretty cool. Maybe he could stand outside his house and take like a cup of water outside, throw it out in the air, and see if it freezes in the air before it lands on the ground.
Well, you would never do that with a beverage at Brewer's Outlet.
No.
Mm-mm. I mean, ever.
No.
I mean, you never would even consider.
Sacrilege.
Good word. I like that.
Yeah.
Well played.
Yeah. Sometimes a squirrel gets a nut.
No, I thought you played it well.
Thank you. I'll suggest that to him. I'll let you know.
That would entail going outside.
That's true.
Okay. I just want to point that out. Just wondering. This is a...
Yeah, during this cold snap today, you were thinking about the Purdy tournament, which will be in 4 months. Yeah. I was flipping back to that wonderful August day we had back in 2015 when we were at Penn's Tavern with Wheels.
Wheels texted me today.
That was a wonderful day.
Yeah, Wheels texted me today. I think he's going down to Florida the 31st, if I remember the text message he sent me. So
we'll get in touch with him when spring training starts. We won't waste any time.
No. It's he sent me a great text right after the Fiesta Bowl. Then he sent me another text today, which was cool. So, it's great. Always staying in touch with him. That's one of the really good guys out there. Just always did his jobs, no ego, none of that stuff. It just wasn't there. Just the kind of guy he is. I mean, he just has a perfect personality for it.
Just the jubilation that he showed in the press box when the Phillies won the World Series last decade. I would not be surprised when he was listening to you and Jack at the Fiesta Bowl. I wouldn't be surprised if he was doing the exact same thing when they locked up the win.
He texted me and said he could hear the joy in my voice.
Yes.
Well, if anybody can appreciate that, that would be him, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Mike Conti from the Falcons Radio Network, next half hour. Does that work for you?
Perfect setup for the picks.
We'll get his feeling on Falcons-Rams coming up in the next half hour.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hubbell's Wharf.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.